Hello, all of you out there in Radioland. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. For our virtual listeners, we hope your device stays locked onto our website, kptz.org. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. The show highlights some of the diverse personalities that make Jefferson County, Washington, so very special. Our Town profiles people from all walks of life, from firefighters to foodies, bus drivers to baristas, and even the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. Of course, some ladies don't find social lunches all that compelling, but not all of them then decide to go out there and start their own business. That takes guts, determination, and most importantly, a really good business idea. My guest today is one of those rare people who have faith in their dreams, enough faith to leave a great paying job to follow that dream. My guest today is Lisa Zielinski, the founder, CEO, and power behind a new company called FarmMade. Since you're listening to the show instead of watching it, I have to explain something right now. We're not talking about farm made as in plowing the fields at your farm or raising chickens or pigs or even farm to table. No, switch it up a bit. This farm is actually spelled P-H-A-R-M as in pharmaceutical. Lisa's actually a licensed pharmacist who worked for CVS Pharmacies for a number of years. The heart of her entrepreneurial idea is to use her pharmaceutical training to create new products that use both her pharmacy skills and deep knowledge of the potential of healing powers of plants. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. First, I'd like to start off with the basics. Who is Lisa? Where did she come from? So welcome to the show, Lisa. I always start by asking guests if they're local, born and bred on the Olympic Peninsula. Are you a local girl?
Actually, I'm not.
Okay.
I've been here a long time, but I grew up in mostly Salt Lake City, Utah, and Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. And what's your background? What'd your folks do?
My dad worked for Delta Airlines most of my life, and my mom kind of had different jobs here and there. She was a florist. She worked for a ski resort. She was a travel agent, so she's kind of been around.
And are you an only child?
I'm not. I have an older sister and a younger sister.
Okay. Were you raised in the sort of environment where it was sort of expected and encouraged that you would go on to university?
I don't know that it was expected of me. I think in my own mind, that was just the natural place to go. My parents always said I could do whatever I wanted, and for some reason, that's just where I thought it was supposed to be.
Okay. I always like to make a slight detour and ask about your teenage years, because they're very formative. You know, you go into high school as a kid, you supposedly come out as an adult, although you might quibble with that. But anyhow, what were you like during your high school years? Not what you thought about yourself, but what your peers thought about you.
I think my peers mostly thought I was pretty quiet. I kind of had my own small group of friends, but then I was playing sports and studying, so I was kind of like a mix of things, but mostly I would say they probably think I was pretty quiet.
Okay. And were you one of the rare kids that had it clear in your head, when I get out of here, I'm going to do X?
I think mostly I wanted to be in medicine. It kind of changed what part of medicine, but I think from early on, just because I was so studious, I always thought medicine was the right career path.
Why medicine? Did you have any family or friends in the field?
No family or anything that did anything like that.
Really? You got hooked on a TV show or something.
I must have. I don't remember exactly, but yeah, nobody in my family is in any type of medicine.
Okay. So did you think at first that you're going to be a doctor?
Yeah, that's the way it started.
Okay. Yeah. And then what happened?
I was in high school and I was doing an advanced placement course with the community college there, and it was in medical assisting. And my experience with that actually pushed me into pharmacy rather than going the route of a doctor.
Okay. And where were you going to university?
I went to undergraduate at Washington State University.
Washington State. Yeah. Okay. And you were by that point planning on becoming a pharmacist,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Well, I know that being a pharmacist takes more than an undergraduate degree, but exactly what training route do you take for it?
Yeah, so usually you do an undergraduate degree in some sort of science background, and then you apply to pharmacy school and do 4 years of pharmacy school after your 4 years of undergrad.
Okay, for a total of 8 years.
Yes, correct.
And where'd you do the second four?
Also at Washington State University.
Okay, and so when you came out, you then had what degree at that point?
It's a doctorate. It's called PharmD, but yeah, it's a doctorate.
Okay, and isn't there some sort of license involved too?
Yes, there is. There's a national license, and then each state has its own law license or law exam that you have to take to get a license in each state.
How did you decide where you wanted to be as a pharmacist?
It was actually dependent on my, boyfriend at the time, long-term boyfriend at the time, and he was studying medicine at Ohio State University, and so we had been apart for 4 years during his medical school and my pharmacy school. And
I'm sure you saw it settled there occasionally.
Yes. Yeah, yes, yeah. We did. But yeah, so after I graduated, that's where I moved to.
To Ohio.
Yes.
Okay, so where did you end up working in Ohio?
So it was first job out of pharmacy school was CVS in Ohio.
So you got the license for Ohio.
Yes.
And
yes.
Took a job with CVS. And you were there with him for how many years?
So there it would have been 6 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And were you all at one particular pharmacy during that time?
It was all with CVS, but I was a floater pharmacist, and that means I was kind of a substitute teacher in a way. I went from store to store and just filled in wherever they needed help.
But you didn't actually travel for days at a time to get to the new store, right? They were all pretty central.
Yeah, pretty much. They're all in Columbus, Ohio, and probably a distance of anywhere from right down the street to 45 minutes away.
Okay, so he finally graduates.
Yes.
Did he set up practice there?
No. So he actually did a fellowship in Houston, Texas. So we moved there for a year, and I transferred within CVS and worked there.
Okay.
And then he set up his practice here in Port Townsend.
Okay. Well, so as a pharmacist, I mean, you know, as a consumer who picks up things from the pharmacy from time to time, I see one angle on it. But what's the most consuming thing you actually do if you're on that side of the desk?
I think most consuming thing is probably just filling prescriptions. I mean, that's a bulk of a retail pharmacist is just getting the drug from the prescription to the end user, the patient. But we spend a lot of time talking to doctors and dealing with patient profiles and making sure that everybody's taking the right medications. But for the most part, our day is spent checking prescriptions.
Huh. Okay, so you worked for CVS in Houston, and you guys decided to move to Port Townsend, to Washington State. What was the thinking there?
Sure. Yeah, we were looking for a small town and then to be close to family as well. His family's from Edmonds, Washington, and Port Townsend's a small town, and two and two together, we ended up here.
Okay. So, you know, there is no CVS in Port Townsend itself, but CVS has a strong presence in Washington State. So did you attempt to transfer with them?
No. So when we left Houston, I was needing a break from pharmacy, the fast pace. You know, I was working 14 hours a day with little to no breaks. And I decided I wanted a break. I needed some time to find something else to do.
What year did you move here?
2019, the fall of 2019.
And the big issue for anyone moving here is housing. Were you guys able to find a house and swing that?
Yes, we
great.
And yeah, we got lucky. We actually found a great house, so we're both happy with that.
Does it involve a lot of renovations?
It does. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Needless to say, I'm not surprised. Is it one of the real old Victorians or something a bit more modern?
It's It's an older house. I think it was built in the 30s. It's kind of like a beach shack right now is the way that I would describe it.
Yeah, I know all about that. Okay. But do you like renovating? Is that something that you actually care about?
Yeah. So actually, we owned a house in Columbus, Ohio, and I renovated that house while we lived there in my free time. And so I've always been drawn to fixer-uppers. And so when we moved here, that's what we found. And I've been working on it ever since.
Wow. Okay. But 2019, now, between then and now, I mean, you would have had ample opportunity to get a job at a pharmacy.
Sure.
Between, if you wanted to. But why didn't you? Why did you decide, really, bottom line, you didn't want to do that anymore?
It was just a pretty stressful job for me. It wasn't all that I wanted. I didn't feel like I used my education very much in that job because it was mostly just checking what the doctor wrote against what medication we were filling and making sure it was all filled correctly. And there's too much pressure on just getting through prescriptions and getting out more and more prescriptions. And I didn't feel like I was using the knowledge that I spent 8 years gaining.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. But obviously, it sounds like you weren't content to just stay at home and do nothing.
Right. Yeah, no. I wanted to do something with my knowledge, which is where the business PharmMaid came from, using my pharmacy background. And then also I started looking at the plants in the area. I'd go on walks with my dog and hikes in the area and took an interest in the plant life and kind of got interested in that more than being in a retail pharmacy.
Well, what clicked? I mean, what made you, you're taking a stroll with your dog out in the forest and looking around at all this exotic, some would say, vegetation. And, you know, that's one thing. But to actually go ahead and say, hey, light bulb, I could have a business. How did that happen?
I think it came about just on these walks. You know, I'd look at a plant and think, oh, what could it do just in my pharmacy brain? You know, plants are equal medicine to me. And so I'd look that up. And then, you know, I'd hear stories from my husband's practice about people wanting more natural alternatives. And then it ended up being that people we knew. So like, for instance, his mom was having issues with carpal tunnel. And so then I would think what plants could help with that and ended up making her a salve to help ease the pain in her joints, that sort of thing. And so to me, that was more me using my education background.
Okay, so your mother-in-law is having trouble with carpal tunnel in her hands, and you decided to make something to help her, is what it turns out to
be.
And so how do you go about that? I mean, did you know which plants to use? How did you do it?
So I did a lot of research. I wanted to use local plants just because that was kind of my interest. And so I wanted plants with research backing. So I'd look for journal articles about specific plants that are in the area, see if they did anything, if they had any scientific research on their effectiveness with treating, say, inflammation or anything like that, and then kind of put together a list of local ones that I could use as well as common ones that are really effective to use.
So what did you dig up? What were some of the things you found?
Yeah, so for instance, for the carpal tunnel salve that I ended up making for my mother-in-law, I used a plant called rue. It was had research behind it saying that it actually targets our nerves to help us reduce pain sensation. I used a plant called arnica, which grows kind of high up in the mountains. It is known to reduce inflammation. And then just a common one from pharmacy is menthol. It creates a cooling sensation. And I kind of combine those to make a salve. And then when you apply it, you get a cooling sensation. And then you can also get that pain relief as well.
You Before, when we were talking, you referred to rue as a weed. Is it commonly known as a weed?
Yes, it is.
Really? That's interesting. Yes. So what happens? I mean, you pick some leaves of each one of them, and then you put them in a mortar and pestle?
Mortar and pestle, yeah.
And grind them up. Is that what you do with them?
Basically, it kind of depends on the plant. Some plant, the medicinal properties are in the root, or some they're in the leaves, some they're in the flower, some it's the whole plant. So you take whichever part that plant has medicinal properties. You usually dry it, and then you can put it in a mortar and pestle, grind them. And then depending on the nutrient within there, they could be water-soluble or oil-soluble, and then you soak it in oil or soak it in water, and that extracts the medicinal chemicals that are inside that plant.
So you add water or oil to it, essentially, stir it up?
Essentially, and you let it sit for a long time. So it's kind of equivalent to making tea.
Okay.
You know, you steep tea, and then when you drink it, you're getting the medicinal properties. You steep it in water to release those out of the leaves.
Okay. And so just on that specific product, how long does it steep? I mean, how long does it take to marinate, if we want to use that term?
Yeah, so that one's mostly oils. So when I soak them in oils, it's usually for 6 to 8 weeks.
Huh. Okay. And how big a batch do you make at any one time?
I started off small.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because most oils are good for 1 to 2 years, depending on the oil. So I would, you know, start with, you know, like a pickling jar and use about that size first. Huh.
And so which oil did you end up as a base for that particular product?
For that one, I ended up with arnica oil and also calendula oil, which is marigold. Huh. Both of those have anti-inflammatory properties. And then you soak them in an oil. You can use like olive oil or something like that.
Interesting. And so you ultimately perfected this and you gave it to your mother-in-law.
Yes.
And how did she like it?
She loved it.
Great.
It was a work in progress at the time that she
got
it.
Right.
It's been refined since then and she still uses it now.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you wouldn't necessarily hit it right the first batch.
Right, yeah.
You
know, it took several iterations.
Yeah, I would think it would take a little while. So do you think you have that one market ready? You're selling it now,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's product number one that you have. And that one is called?
That one's Joint Salvation.
Okay. And you also told me a story about your grandmother. And she was also the inspiration for a new product for you. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So she was visiting us up here and she was complaining that her heels were dry and cracked. And I had already been kind of tinkering with some plants and making ingredients. And I actually found a local plant that's also a weed. It's called plantain, and it's supposed to help with skin cell turnover, meaning that it helps your skin slough off dead skin and be replaced with new, fresh skin, basically. So I whipped up something together. That was one of the main or the star ingredient, and that was the start of a product I call Saturate, which is specifically for cracked heels and feet.
Could it be used elsewhere?
It can be used all over the body.
Like your elbow, let's say.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be the kind of thing. But you wouldn't recommend it as a face lotion?
No. It has a couple comedogenic oils in it, like butters, so those can clog pores. So you wouldn't necessarily want to use that one on your face just so that you'd have a clear complexion.
I see. Okay, but you do have some face products now.
I do, yeah. I started making facial products for myself, actually.
Right.
So I have really sensitive skin and just was really reactive to chemicals in certain skincare products and wanted something that was simple, didn't have a lot of ingredients, was nourishing for my skin and wasn't harsh on it, anything like that. And I came up with a product that I call Glow, and it's kind of based on using antioxidant plants to kind of brighten your complexion, and it's it goes on pretty dry, so it's good for oily skin, but then it also hydrates, so it's good for dry skin, so it's kind of a all-purpose facial product.
And what plants are in that one?
So that one has quite a bit. I use calendula mainly for my sensitive skin because it helps relieve redness. I use a local plant called horsetail. It provides silica, which actually helps slough off dead skin, kind of similar to the saturate product that I mentioned. And it also has some ceramides, some stuff that's naturally in your skin to help keep it moisturized.
Okay, so you had these products, but when did you really formulate in your mind, this is an idea worth starting an actual company? How did that happen?
I kind of was winging it at first.
Yeah, makes sense.
It took kind of a year of tinkering with things before I kind of founded the company itself.
Okay, and the corporate name is?
It's Farm Made.
As in P-H-A-R-M.
Yes, exactly.
Listeners, don't get confused here. It's not a happy old McDonald's farm or anything like that.
No.
Okay. And how many products do you have right now?
I have close to 20.
Okay. And if someone wanted to find out more, do you have a website?
Yeah, it's www.farm-made.com. Don't forget the dash in there.
Okay. Okay. Important. And so people can look things over and order online.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that's fairly simple. So what year did you actually form the company then?
It was the fall of 2020.
Okay, so you're really pretty new at this.
Yes.
Right now, I don't suppose you have a production factory or anything like that.
No, not yet. That's kind of our dream scenario, is to be able to, you know, have it mass produced here in town.
So how's it going so far?
It's going good. Kind of breaking even at the moment. Still looking for, working towards profit, being profitable.
Right.
But it's been a fun experience.
But you have sort of low overhead. You do it all at home, right?
Yes, I do it all at home. I make a lot of the ingredients, mainly because I want to use local ingredients. So that really keeps the overhead low.
Mm-hmm. At the moment, what size batches are you making? I mean, are we talking a big bathtub full? What are we talking about here?
Not quite there yet.
Okay.
I'm still small batch, I guess is what I would call it. Uh-huh. So I'll usually make 10 products or so at a time, or, 10 of one product at a time. And that's just with, an order comes in, it's something I don't have made yet, then I'll make 10 of them. And then once I sell out and sell it again, then I'll make 10 more.
And as you've gotten going, have you veered? I mean, like, you created one product that seems to really sell well and another one that, not so much.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Okay.
Recently, I've been paring down to kind of just the best sellers that I've gotten so far, and trying to focus in on those and making those as, the best products that I can make them, and focusing on those and trying to expand my customer base with those specific ones.
A lot of women become fairly, loyal fans of a particular product and they reorder. Are you seeing that happening?
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of kind of loyal customers, I guess you would say, people that tend to come back, month after month.
Right.
For the same products, yes.
Okay. And have any actually fallen by the wayside that you decided, this was a good idea, but doesn't seem to be taken off like everything else?
Yes, there have been. I've had some kind of face sprays, like toners and that sort of thing, that I've taken off the list.
And the best sellers, what are maybe the top three? What do you think are...
At least Glow, the one that I mentioned, probably a bestseller. I have another... Yes, that's the face lotion.
Right.
I have another one that's a cleanser that's also a bestseller. That one's called Clean. And then I also have a serum that's called Dewdrop, and that's another bestseller.
Mm. Oh, got a fair variety there.
Yeah.
Now, most companies, even tiny ones like yours, have basically what's usually called a 5-year plan. They're looking ahead. How would you characterize your plan?
I think we're definitely in the expansion phase, just trying to kind of increase our loyal customer base, expand to other local areas around here like Poolsbo or Squim and that sort of thing. We're looking to use more locally sourced ingredients, kind of pairing with local farms. We have so many of those around here. We'd like to be able to get most of our ingredients locally. And then, like I mentioned, it'd be nice to be able to manufacture it here in town and have a designated space for that.
But you are already in a few outlets like the Spot, Port Ludlow, right?
Yes, yes, we are, yeah. Right now, that's the only one in town, or in the area, I guess, that sells it. They also use it during some of their treatments as well.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. But we would love to be expanding to more places like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes perfect sense for, you know, and then people see it and, you know, if it's used on them, sometimes they say, oh, I want to order some of that for at home.
Sure, don't. Yes.
That's your strategy, I would presume, is what you want as you grow.
Yes.
So basically, you're trying to, one of the other things I noticed you mentioned before, you want to collaborate with local farms and businesses.
Right.
Explain what you mean by that.
So, for instance, like I go and gather some local ingredients that I have access to, like I mentioned the plantain and that sort of thing. And then it'd be nice that, you know, I could source calendula or the marigold from a local farm that grows it and get more ingredients like those locally as well.
You've got some good ideas. Unfortunately, it looks like we're just about out of time here. That's what happens. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. I'm your host, Mary Ann McNellis. My guest today has been Lisa Zielinski, founder, CEO of a new company here in Port Townsend called Farm Made. I want to stress the company's not about farms. No, no, no pigs, no cows, nothing like that. It's spelled Farm, P-H-A-R-M. Lisa's company uses natural plants and herbs so abundant in the land around us. She's a pharmacist by trade, uses those pharmaceutical skills to make unique healing products, all natural from plant extracts. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Lisa. I wish you the best of luck with your fledgling company. I must confess, I've already gone online and ordered a few products just for me, but I haven't actually got them just yet, so I can't report to you listeners about my personal experience. But after listening to Lisa, I'm quite enthusiastic about them. In addition to thanking Lisa, I want to thank our incredible behind-the-scenes team here at KPTZ. Taylor Clark is normally the editor-producer of Our Town, but Taylor is down with COVID. Fortunately, it's a mild case, but he is in isolation. So the very talented Jim Burke is stepping in today to record the show. So thank you, Taylor, and thank you, Jim. I also want to thank you, listener, for sticking with KPTZ for the past decade, particularly the past few pandemic years. As evidenced by Taylor catching COVID at this late date, the disease is still around. So please get vaccinated and boosted and throw in a flu shot, too. It's supposed to be a particularly nasty flu this year. Please keep listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. The show's called Our Town. I'm your host, Mary Ann McNellis. I'm signing off for today, but please stay tuned to KPTZ for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production, created by Mary Ann McNellis and edited by Taylor Clark.